hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Well, good evening, church. It's great to be with you tonight, even if we're still unable to be together. Hopefully that's going to change very, very soon. Tonight we're going to finish off our series we've been doing from Luke chapters 6 to 8 called Faith on the Road. I'm going to begin tonight with a little bit of a word association game. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say a name to you, and I want you to have a think and maybe even a talk to the person near you as to what image of that person comes to your mind as you hear this name. You might even want to type it in the comments section. First name is Plato, the great philosopher Plato. What image comes into your mind? I see a teacher surrounded by people wanting to listen. What about you? The next one is Mother Teresa. What's the image that comes to your mind? Just say it out to the people around you. For me, it's that wrinkled face full of compassion. What about Adolf Hitler? Maybe you see a stern-faced militant. I don't know. You say what you want to say. How about Jacinda Ardern? For me, it's that classic picture of her after the mosque shootings. What about, because I've been watching a lot of The Last Dance recently, what about Michael Jordan? Maybe it's a bit of a shrug. Yeah, I'm the greatest, so what? What's the image that comes to mind for you? A dunk from the free throw line? Okay, last one, Jesus. When I say the name Jesus, what is the image that comes into your mind? Why don't you share that for a second? For you, is it the cross? Is it him washing the disciples' feet? Is it Thomas putting his finger in his side? For some reason, the image that comes to my mind is him surrounded by children and him saying, "Let the little children come to me." It's an image of humility and gentleness and compassion. And that image, those images are not wrong. But it's not the only image that we should come in our mind to as we think about Jesus. The reason we're going through the Gospel of Luke is so that we can get all of the images. I'm a Christian, I follow Christ, so I want to deeply know the one who I've given my life to. That's why doing what we've been doing is so rewarding, because we get to see Jesus for who he really is. Not just one image, but all of it. We're finishing our series today, but by way of review, let's have a look at some things that we talked about. In the first week, we had Josh who talked to us about the Sermon on the Plain.
And in the same way that being physically hungry gives us a singular focus on getting the food that will satisfy it, well, being spiritually hungry will also give us a singular focus on receiving the things from God's kingdom that will satisfy us.
In week two, Rachel saw the importance of faith in the story of Jesus.
Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until we get to level three or level two or things go back to normal. It's time to ask in faith. Say the word and your servant will be healed. Speak, Lord, I'm listening.
In week three, we looked at the story of John the Baptist and the question that burned in his heart as it does in every heart. But here's the thing for John. His whole life has been about getting people to know the Messiah. But if Jesus is not the Messiah, what good is his life? Has it all been a waste? Does John even matter? That is the question behind the question. Do I matter? It's the question behind most questions. 2 weeks ago, we heard from Warren Gooman about the woman who poured out the perfume and the transforming power of grace.
We don't receive from God without humility. We need to come to God and admit that we need him. Doesn't matter how much we know, doesn't matter how good we think we are, we all need grace.
Then last week, Josh and Sarah took us through the ways we hear Jesus and what we do with what we hear.
But if you have a desire, wherever you are on the spectrum, if you have a desire to be a person of faith, then what I invite you to do right now is to ask Jesus. Ask God to help you be a person with good soil who hears the word of God, that he may birth faith on the inside of you.
Today we're going to end the series by reading Luke chapter 8 verses 22 to 56. It's a big passage of scripture, but it's the most amazing story. It begins like this. One day. See, the stories we're about to read all took place in one day. Jesus had some pretty big days in his life, didn't he? The day he was born, that was a pretty big one. The day he walked on water and fed 5,000 and had an encounter with the Pharisees, all on the same day. The day that he went to the cross. This one would rank among them. It's a day when we get to see Jesus for who he really is. What we're going to see through this passage and these stories, we're going to get a new image of Jesus to add to those other ones. We're going to read of four significant encounters that Jesus has. If you were to make Jesus' life into a series of the old show, 24, where everything happens in real time, this might be series number one. So, let's dive into scripture and read the story. As we do, I want you to imagine you are one of Jesus' disciples, that you are in the story with him, and consider today, what would you think of him as you went through this? Let's begin. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap, but soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown!" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him." He rebuked the waves. We talked about the story a while ago, and we encourage you to bring God's peace into the storm around you. Today I want you to imagine the situation. The storm is raging while Jesus is sleeping. Then he stands up and rebukes the storm. "Peace, be still!" And it is still. It seems that even nature itself listens to him. So they arrived in the region of the Gerasenes across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time he had been homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside the town. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of him. Then he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of God, Son of the Most High God? Please, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. The spirit had often taken control of the man, even when he was placed under guard and put in chains and shackles. He simply broke them and rushed out into the wilderness, completely under the demon's power. Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, for he was filled with many demons. The demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby, and the demons begged him to let them enter into the pigs. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw it, they fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been freed from the demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others how the demon-possessed man had been healed, and all the people in the region of the Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for a great wave of fear swept over them. So Jesus returned to the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. The man who had been freed from demons begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him home, saying, "No, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you." So he went all through the town, proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. Jesus' power over the waves. This though is something else. It's the strongest expression yet of Jesus' power over the forces of evil. Here is Gentile territory. They're not God followers in the least. Jesus confronts the evil in this place with complete authority. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcome Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Jesus' power over the waves, over evil, and here, even over chronic illness. I remember being so confused about this story as a kid. Did she have a cut that just wouldn't heal? That sounds like a nasty disease. I sure hope that doesn't happen to me. But here is a woman who has had this disease for 12 years, and in an instant, she is healed. Jesus tells her that her salvation comes by her faith. She touched him with one thought in her mind: "You can heal me." And he felt that and responded by doing just what she believed for. Jesus' response to our trembling touch is the same. While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith, and she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, "Stop the weeping. She isn't dead, she's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. In these stories, Jesus encounters the things that would make him ritually unclean. He goes to speak with Gentiles in an area which farm pigs, non-kosher animals. He's touched by a woman with a disease that made her ritually unclean. He touches a dead body, another thing that would make him unclean. But he is so clean that it cannot stay on him. The uncleanness and the thing that caused it are gone. These stories tell us so much about Jesus and his mission. He embraces uncleanness to bring healing. This is the mission of Jesus. He shows that love and power turn pollution into wholeness and hope. As we've heard these stories, may we be amazed by Jesus' authority. Jesus' power over nature, over evil, over sickness. And now he shows he even has power over death. When we hear the name of Jesus, these images should also be in our mind. See Jesus standing above the ship with his voice pushing back the storm. See the forces of evil fleeing from him. See uncleanness being pushed back like a drip of water spreading out on a napkin. See death cowering in the corner as Jesus walks into the room. He is a person of authority. That's who Jesus is. There's another aspect to this story that Luke brings out expertly. And that's the response of the people around him. Look at what happens when people see Jesus for who he really is. I count about 6 different responses here. Let's focus on 3 of them. The first is right at the end. Verse 53 says, "The crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died." They laughed when Jesus said that he would raise her from the dead. In a plain reading, you can see why they laughed. "Stop the weeping," says this man they've never met. "She isn't dead, she's only asleep." It's crazy talk. They think he's crazy. No one beats death. No one. But imagine you were one of the disciples who's experienced everything that they've experienced. You'd almost want to laugh back at them. "Guys, girls, you have no idea who this man is you're talking to. You have no idea what's about to happen." There are many around us who laugh at Jesus. To them, he is nothing more than a crazy dead man who lived a long, long time ago. I once worked with a guy who called me a God botherer. He knew I followed Jesus, and he just said, "You're a God botherer." He knew there was a God, but in his mind, God didn't care about this world and didn't care about us. The idea of having Jesus having authority was laughable to him. He rejected him and wanted nothing to do with him. He used to even try to provoke me to get angry just to show there was nothing to this God thing. My friend believed there is a big world with massive problems, but God is too uncaring or too weak or too cowardly to do something about it. He was actually a great guy, but he never had seen Jesus for who he really is. Today, if you've discounted Jesus without seeing him, may you be challenged by what you hear. Second group of people were those who were afraid and said, "Go away." All the people in the region of the Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for a great wave of fear swept over them. There are those who saw what Jesus did to the demoniac, and it was so far out of their experience that they asked him to go. They should have been grateful. Jesus had healed a man who was a massive problem to them. If I'd been there, I probably would have been upset, but it wouldn't have been about the freeing of the man. It would have been the loss of all that bacon that went and tipped over the edge of that cliffside. That would have really bothered me. There are some in our world who, like these ones, that do see a glimpse of Jesus, but they reject him. These verses are a living embodiment of the parable of the soil Josh and Sarah talked about last week. These people have seen enough of Jesus to follow, but they can't seem to do it consistently. May this not be true of us. Then there's the final response. There was the woman who fell on her knees and got called daughter. The disciples who were terrified and amazed, but keep going with Jesus. And the demon-possessed man who begged, "Please, Jesus, can I go with you?" Notice Jesus says to the man, "Go tell what God has done." And what does he do? He goes to tell what Jesus has done. He doesn't see any difference, nor should we. Some laughed, some said go away, some were terrified, amazed, and followed. What is your response to Jesus? What's our response to seeing Jesus for who he is? We often hear of what Jesus will do, but until we see it for ourselves, we won't be changed. We need to respond to Jesus' words, to his consistent miracle-working power, to his compassion and his grace, to the way that he has changed and transformed us. Will we have faith to believe he is who he says he is? We've called the series Faith on the Road, and that is the key element in those who believe. They saw, but seeing was not enough. They saw and believed. May we also see and believe. Can I challenge you today to build your faith? One thing you very rarely see from people who encounter Jesus is indifference. He always leaves a mark, whether it be laughing or begging him to go away. And the same needs to be true for us too. So build your faith. For me, my faith has been built as I've read about Jesus in great books. It's come as I have listened to people speak about him. It's come as I've seen people who've missed it, those who've missed grace, like my friend. It's come as I've worshipped. It has come as I've prayed. But for me, it's mostly come as I've read scripture. That's why we're studying Luke, that in walking with Jesus, we would see him for who he is, that we would know the one that we follow. I've read about him in the scripture, and it has hit me again and again, over and over. It has changed me. I do not laugh. I do not ask him to go away. I follow. What about you? Tom Wright says, we will only give the right answer to the question of who Jesus is when we realize that to give it commits us to total trust and obedience. Today, as you're here, as you're watching this, you're associating those images with Jesus. In your mind, hopefully you now see him as the one who is powerful. But does your life reflect that? Are there areas of your life today where you say, I have yet to give him total trust and obedience? You know, I love the image of that woman who is trembling and lifting up her hand to him, to touch him. And Jesus feels that, and he has compassion. May he have compassion for you today, where you are, the situation that you're currently involved in, the things going on in your world. All it takes is a moment to reach out and to touch him. So I want to encourage you to do that now, right where you are. You might even want to close your eyes. You might want to bow your head and just focus on him. And tonight, Jesus, we welcome you. We welcome you into our lives. We welcome you into our hearts. We pray, God, you would come and have your way here among us. All the things of our lives would reflect and honor you. So Jesus, right now, we bring ourselves to you. We ask God for more of you and more of your love. We pray, Jesus, that you would be seen for who you are. Not our perceptions of you, Lord, not our kids' Bible drawing of you, but the picture that we see as we encounter you for ourselves. Person of grace and humility, love and compassion, of power and authority. Be present in our lives right now by your Holy Spirit. Bring your very self right into our rooms, that we may sense you and that we may choose to live for you. Jesus, we thank you for these words. We thank you for leading and guiding us. We proclaim today your greatness, and we say, God, all we are is yours. It's your breath on our tongues, so we pour out our praise to you. May our understanding lead us to worship in song and in lifestyle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.